Back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, the 27th of May, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today, where we continue WICC's coverage of a morning raid a few hours earlier by the FBI at the Success Village housing complex. We had an in-depth report from WICC's Melissa Sheketoff and Chris Williams as well. Hearst Connecticut Media's Dan Hard dropped by with his weekly update on the Eversource rate request, a state look into Roblox, and that contentious first district Democratic race for Congress.
It's a new year and a new chapter, I guess would be the term, in the Success Village saga. And joining me now is Melissa Sheketoff from Melissa in the Morning. Melissa, thank you.
Yeah, of course, Chris.
So this morning we learned that federal law enforcement agents were at Success Village, and it has been confirmed that they were investigating a residence in the complex connected to Ty Byrd, who's the former president of the board of directors.
Yes.
You were there.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind describing the scene when you got there?
Yeah, of course. So we had started getting calls around 7 o'clock this morning from residents, but I didn't want to go to air with it, Chris, until we knew for a fact that these were FBI agents. I know we had seen pictures and video, but we like to do our due diligence. And once I had a strong source in law enforcement confirm that FBI was there, we left right after the morning show, got down there. There were actually two properties, or I should say two units at Success Village that we saw active FBI agents going in and out. So the first one was more on the Stratford side of the complex. That's where we first parked our car. We saw probably four or five agents coming in and out and just kind of finishing up bringing boxes of things. Again, we don't know what was in the boxes coming out of that complex or out of that unit. Then we went further to another part of the complex. I want to say it might still be in Stratford, might have been on the Stratford Bridgeport line. Don't quote me on that. But a second residence that was there, a second building. And this time we saw more agents coming in and out of that building and Ty Byrd. Ty Byrd, I did reach out. I should say I called out to him while we were on the scene twice, and he refused to speak to me, which was understandable. FBI couldn't also speak to us. However, I did get confirmation from them that they were responding after several, I think they said multiple warrants that were executed on that property. So that's why they were there.
So you were contacted, as I understand it, by residents who lived in the complex starting this morning. You had various people contact you, and you said that you had spoken to them there. What was their general sense? What did you get from them? Were they pleased with this?
Oh, in fact, I witnessed multiple times, Chris, they were thanking FBI agents. And of course, they're there to do a job, right? But they were rejoiced, relieved was another thing. And again, I want to make it super clear, we don't know exactly why FBI agents basically stormed the property today. They left probably just before 11 o'clock, but they were there for several hours, again, between these two units. But overwhelmingly, residents, and let me tell you, Chris, at one point, I almost had like a duckling trail following me there. They were so excited and thrilled, first of all, that, you know, justice is potentially going to be served. Again, I don't know why they were at these units. We have a good idea, but we don't want to report until we know for sure. But the other thing was they honestly overwhelmingly were thankful to WICC. We've been staying on this story since the spring of 2024 when we first learned about no heat and hot water. So very happy residents overall, you know, the ones that I got to talk to, probably two dozen of them.
It was reported by Hearst that there was a table set up with what looked to be evidence on it. And definitely an iPad. Were you able to see that from your vantage point?
So I think by the time that I got there, I did not see what Hearst had reported. However, I did see a folding table that was being put away. I did see there were actually, Chris, behind me at the second building that I was at, there was a massive, and of course people can't see it because I'm using my hands, but a massive, almost like a box truck. All, you know, it was blacked out, everything. You couldn't see into it. But two of the SUVs parked next to it, they were filled to the brim with boxes and what looked like almost, you know, the kind of look of like a stereo box. It looked like almost like these stereos. And again, I don't know exactly what it was, but those were filled to the brim. And my understanding was there was a lot more in that massive box truck as well. So they took a lot of evidence. I don't know what was in the boxes. I don't know what technology was pulled, but they took an awful lot between those two units for sure.
And Melissa Sheketoff is here from Melissa in the Morning, and she happened to be on scene right after her program wrapped up this morning. And just to confirm, No persons were taken into custody. This was more of an evidence seizure.
That's what it seemed like, Chris. In my understanding was there was not going to be an arrest made today. Again, that was from my source that had confirmed that FBI was on site, which was why we then went. But there were no arrests that were done. Like I said, Ty Bird was walking around the property.
Ty Bird a resident there?
He is. He is a resident there. In fact, he went when I was standing there. And again, I was on public property. I was on a public sidewalk. But I could see into his unit, essentially. He was walking in and out of there very freely. He was talking to the FBI agents at one point. Again, I couldn't obviously hear him, but you could see he referenced by pointing over at us, I think almost asking us to leave. But we were on public property, so we were okay to be there, and the agents really couldn't tell us to leave. But he was freely going in and out of that property. And my understanding from residents, again, not confirmed by law enforcement, is the two properties that were raided by the FBI both belong in some regard to Ty Bird, is my understanding.
And it appeared to you that he was fully cooperating.
Yes, he seemed to be talking to the FBI. I never saw him get loud. I never saw him, you know, become animated. It seemed like from the FBI standpoint, he freely let them in and out. He seemed to be very cordial with them. Now, again, I did hear reports of at one point FBI agents who had to bring loaded guns into one of the buildings. I was not there for that. I cannot confirm that. I know we had a lot of comments on that on social media. I never physically saw that, and I couldn't get that confirmation from the FBI or Ty Bird. But what I saw on site was not somebody who was being combative. I saw somebody cooperating with the FBI.
Melissa, what would you say was the length of time you were there? Because the agents responded, various reports are saying about 5:30 this morning. And you got there at the tail end because you had other duties here. How long would you say you were there?
I got there right after the show ended. So probably about 10:15, 10:20. I literally left right after the show ended. Got there about 20 after. And I left around 1:45. I probably was there for about 45 minutes, give or take. They definitely left the property, it seemed like, by about 11:30.
And it was clear. And at that time, there were no federal law.
There was nobody. Okay. So I had seen them leave, Chris, probably around 11 o'clock, the building I had been standing at. So then I walked to the other building, and they were not there either. So they probably left by 11 o'clock. That would be my educated guess, would be 11 around that time.
Again, we're with Melissa from Melissa in the Morning here on WICC, which can be found every weekday morning.
Thanks, Chris.
5 to 10. Barry Knott said that he was aware of the investigation. Now, he is the receiver that was appointed to take charge in September of 2024. And he was quoted as saying, quote, he was happy to see authorities were investigating and cooperated to the extent that he could.
Yes.
Did you happen to see Barry Knott there?
So I didn't, and I wasn't surprised to not see him there, Chris. He actually numerous times on my show has confirmed that there would be a federal investigation that had nothing to do with him or his office. He has been asked by the FBI, I would imagine, to provide either documents or what he has found. And remember, as you just mentioned very appropriately, he was a court appointed receiver. He has been in that place since the fall of 2024. Let's remember, I mean, he discovered very quickly that millions of dollars had gone missing. There were multiple bank accounts at multiple banks that had been used. All of it kind of coming back to Ty Bird. And I know, we on WICC have asked him numerous times, you know, to the extent of what Ty Bird would be investigated for. He confirmed that there were absolutely going to be investigations happening, probably at the federal level, but that he had no part in that. His office was not investigating, and it was kind of out of his jurisdiction, but that they had obviously asked for his help. And I would imagine he provided what he has been able to find out since being receiver to them. But no, he was not at the property. And I wouldn't imagine, even if media outlets reach out to him, I imagine he can't really say much, nor does he have the information to say much because he's not involved with the investigation.
Okay. He did say that he was aware of the agent's presence. What is your plan going forward? Are you going to be in touch with him directly? Are you going to rely on the residents to keep you informed? Are you going to go down there on a regular basis? Are you going to reach out to various?
Yeah, where do you go from here? So
yes.
I think, Chris, the one thing that we've been all collectively doing, and you're very much an active part of this team as well, I think what we've been trying to do is the job of a journalist, right? So if you've got residents, the reason that we even went down there today was because residents were overwhelmingly sending me pictures and videos and messages starting at 6-7 o'clock this morning. And so we then follow up on that. Who can confirm? And like I said, I had a strong source in law enforcement who could confirm that FBI were there. So we follow up on that. I think, like all of us, I think we're going to follow this very closely. Obviously, I think next steps, sure, is I'm very close to Attorney Barry Nutter. I've become very close to him just because of this story. But I don't know how much more he can provide at this point. I think at this point, I'm going to probably be pursuing law enforcement. I've already reached out to Bridgeport Police. They confirmed that essentially this is a federal investigation. This is really kind of even above their purview. So, you know, we try to get to Connecticut FBI and see if we can find out a little bit more. I would imagine we could see, you know, potentially an arrest happen. So I guess we just kind of see where the story unfolds. As far as, are we done telling the story? No way. I think we all collectively knew that this story, we were glad to see that it got to a point where somebody was onto Ty Bird, potentially. But I think the story is far from over and none of us are ready to stop looking at it.
I seem to recall a period in time when you would discuss this. There was a special...
An opening, yes. What was it? The Success Village saga continues.
Yes, because it was never ending.
It was never ending, Chris. Yeah.
Definition of saga is a story that has no end.
Yeah, well, in this one, I don't think it does. Because even Chris, honestly, so even if Ty Bird, even if we find out the end of his story, right, you still have a complex that's millions of dollars in debt. I mean, I do know that the state legislature did pass money that is going to help kind of with that financial burden. And that's fantastic, right? But you still have an aging complex that still has... inconsistent heat and hot water, a lot of that having to do with the aging boilers on our property. And Attorney Knott has said many times before, look, I have a kind of a temporary fix and it's been working for the most part. He said, but if you really want to fix this complex, you're talking about needing dozens more of these units, these boilers, to be able to maintain this property properly. And we don't have the money for that. You're talking about millions of dollars. So I don't think the end is here. I think you're talking about finally, maybe seeing some financial relief for the residents, finally seeing a little bit of closure, maybe some justice. But I don't think Success Village is done with the story. Not for a long time, unfortunately.
Melissa, I want to thank you for being there. And I want to thank you for dedicating a couple moments to me for this. And please do keep us up to date.
Absolutely. We definitely will. And thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Melissa. We'll be back on WICC.
Dan Harhurst, Connecticut Media, joins us as he does around this time. Every midweek Wednesday. Dan, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon. Give it up. There's no privacy anymore.
Thank you. Dan Haar, folks. Dan, it's been great. We'll see you later. Well, no, Dan, seriously, I might as well mention it now. Somebody texted in and said, if you have location services turned on your phone, they know where you're going, right?
Well, the all-time favorite was the guy, the fellow whose name I forget, who killed Jennifer Doulos and carried his phone with him to the North End when he allegedly dumped parts of her body. So, absolutely.
Three stories you want to touch on today, the reaction from Governor Lamont and then this Eversource request. Dan, what's the latest you're hearing on this? There's not really much the governor can do or not?
Not directly. I mean, he appoints Pura. He has done that job. He has appointed Pura, and he has a good Pura in place that everybody seems happy with, a balance of, you know, one academic and one person in the industry, one in finance. So he limited it to two former politicians. Mm-hmm. And they are going to have to make a tough decision because these rates are going up no matter what anybody has to say. And he was very, very animated, more than I've ever seen him on a thing like this. And I asked him about it today, and he was, you know, not sheepish, but he believes that we need to really, really scrutinize this. And while that's a legitimate feeling and statement, it was his tone that surprised me.
Yeah. And Dan, if you've covered these things forever, you know much more on this than I do. If Pura says we want 11%, what are they really targeting? Because I'm guessing, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, obviously, utilities, do they ask for a little more but say, okay, we're going to ask for 11, they're going to give us 8 or 9? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, is, when you said Pura said, you mean Eversource.
Eversource. I'm sorry. Yes.
Right. Well, let's look at the rates. The 11% is 13% for homeowners, for residential.
Yeah.
Right. So forget the 11. It's 11 across all classes, a little bit less for commercial and a little bit more for residential, because commercial is already maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
Or more maxed out. The on top of that rate, they have something called system improvements charge, which is on your bill now at 2 cents a kilowatt hour, right? That's about $14 a month. That's on your bill now. That's not going away, but yet it's going to keep, it's going to stay on your bill, and that's not accounted for. So that's additional money that could be part of your bill, right? That's, it's not, it was supposed to go away as part of this rate making process, but it's not. So that's one thing. Another is they have a contested $1.4 billion with a B in storm costs just from 2018 to 2023. That $1.4 billion implies another additional amount on your rate. Now, on top of that, they've got smart meters. Massachusetts is way ahead of us on smart meters. They got a head start. We didn't. We're now paying higher inflation rates for smart meters when we start installing them no sooner than 2027 at a cost of $1 billion. It's another billion. Now you have build out of the system to account for more capacity. When you add all these things together, you're getting a lot more than just 11 or 12 or 13%. It's going to be higher than that.
Really?
And that's even if Pura knocks down those costs.
Wow. Dan Harhurst, Connecticut Media, the Attorney General, investigating something called, and I only started following this a few months ago, Roblox, R-O-B-L-O-X. It's in the video gaming and social media industry, but I have heard, especially from a friend of mine who covers this professionally for a major network, there's questions behind this operation and how committed they are to safety, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Roblox says, let's to go back a step. Roblox is a platform for games and all kinds of things that is generally attractive to kids, youths, kids. Not young children, but some young children, but, you know, teenagers and kids, right? So right away, you have to watch it more closely than you watch anything else, say Facebook or any other social media platform. And that's not happening in the view of 10 or 12 states that have sued or investigated Roblox.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, none of those states has launched a nationwide effort. William Tong, the attorney general, yesterday launched an investigation, which he did not say involves multiple states. But it looks to me like, if I were guessing, he's going to do with this what he did with Purdue Pharma, generic drugs, Ticketmaster, where he tries to bring in other states. Because remember, he's the head of the Association of Attorney Generals.
Interesting. And finally, I got to tell you, this first district U.S. House race, and now Jillian Gilchrist, and I did the first part of my show on this today, Dan, Jillian Gilchrist taking off at all this PAC money and big money, she says, that is a little sleazy or whatever here.
Yeah, there are three candidates in the race. One doesn't have any money, so she can take shots at anyone else who has money with impunity, but she's not going anywhere in the race because she has no money, and she resents the fact that we in the media keep saying that she's not going anywhere because she has no money. Unfortunately, money matters, and so she's not going anywhere without any money.
Yeah.
The other person takes corporate PAC money. That's the incumbent, John Larson. And the third person is taking money from a billionaire with an outside funding group, right? So those are three classes of people. The billionaire happens to be Stephen Mandel from Greenwich, which was written about in the Liberal American Prospect.
Yep.
But Stephen Mandel from Greenwich is himself a liberal who funds some forward-thinking events and things like the Connecticut Project, which wants to fully fund the schools.
Yeah.
What Gilchrist is saying is that, no. He funds corporate Democrats.
Okay.
So it's a complex picture in which one person is shooting at the other two and the other two are shooting at each other over three different forms of fundraising, one of them being not fundraising, which happens to be a formula for failure.
If finally, Dan, if that primary is held today as we speak on May 27th, who wins?
Larson.
Okay. How much?
Barely.
Okay.
But what's going to happen is the Gilchrist vote is going to split, and that's why John Larson installed Gilchrist into the primary.
Yeah.
And when I say installed, I mean installed. He got her onto the primary. And so the question is, if Bronin is able to spend the summer really making headway with the money he has, and he does have significantly more than Larson, right, both money that he's raised and outside money,
mm-hmm.
he has more money than Larson. If he's able to make headway, then the equation changes. Right now, not so far.
All right, Dan Harhurst, Connecticut Media, senior editor and columnist. Check out all his pieces that he dutifully publishes for Hearst. Dan, be good. Have a great rest of the week. Great weekend. We'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
See you next week.
All right, Dan Har.